This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ben Golliver is joining us now on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild hotline. He's on Twitter, at Ben Golliver. He wrote a good piece on Washington Post about Yusuf Nurkic's gruesome leg injury last night. Ben, thanks for the time, man. We always appreciate it. I know you're super busy. Just, you know, your kind of feelings and thoughts when you see a guy go down with that injury, and especially for a team that you covered for so many years.
No, it's just brutal, man. There's no way to spin it, no silver lining here. I mean, yes, it's nice that he already got paid. He got his contract, but still, I think the timing for both him and for the Blazers is just terrible. I mean, horrible. You look at him in the middle of a long-awaited career year, something that he had spent years building towards in terms of, you know, finding the right fit in the NBA, you know, leaving Denver, kind of asking out, finally having that be granted, you know, transforming his body, losing all this weight, understanding that he was going to have to rely on the team concept to get where he wanted to go rather than just being a guy who looked out for himself or looked out for his own numbers. I think he had to learn that lesson on the fly in the NBA, and it all came together this season. I mean, Portland was playing strong basketball offensively with him on the court, strong basketball defensively with him on the court. Everyone who was saying he's become the Blazers' second best player was right on the money. And now you have, you know, on the brink of the playoffs, when Portland could really realistically dream about having, you know, a fairly deep postseason run this year, you know, just given the parity in the Western Conference outside of Golden State, it all kind of comes crashing down. And I think for the Blazers themselves, I don't know where Terry Stotts turns. You know, he called the injury devastating last night. I think that's the right word. And when you look at his replacement options, whether Zach Collins, Enes Kanter, Myers Leonard, there's a big fall off in terms of, you know, team impact and contributions between Nurkic and any of those guys.
Well, and I think Enes Kanter too. I mean, he might give you something offensively, but you mentioned defensively what Nurk has meant to them. You're clearly not going to get that with Kanter. I don't know if you can trust Collins, and then Myers hasn't played in God knows how long. That's not going to be an easy one. The other part of this injury that we talked about is also the timeline for recovery here. Now, I find it interesting. I'm not calling people out here, but the immediate of Paul George is only out X amount of days, and Gordon Hayward was only out X amount of days, and I think even the listing by Portland was expected to make full recovery. I think that's so much easier said than done. You're talking about a 7'1", almost 300-pound human who has already broken his leg since he got to Portland, and now you got a more gruesome break. I don't know what to make of the future and what it could hold for Yusuf Nurkic or the Blazers.
Yeah, you're sounding way too sensible to be a talk radio host, man. But I'm right there with you. I think people, when they do the countdown on Paul George's injury, they forget, you know, he came back, but he only played like 5 or 6 games at the end of that season when he came back. And he did not look right at all. I mean, he did not look correct until the following season. I think, leaving the timeline open, that's pretty standard. But I think if I'm a Blazers fan, I'm trying to look not at next season, but the following season in terms of when you really think Nurkic is going to be back to being who he is. I think the good part is that he's under contract for that whole time period, so there's absolutely no need for him to rush to get back onto the court. And he's also on a pretty affordable deal. I mean, of all the money that O'Shea has handed out over these last couple of years in terms of some of these contracts he's given guys who did not deserve it, negotiating that Nurkic deal wound up to be a huge win. In terms of, you know, their dollars and cents and what they're paying and what they're getting from him. Now, you were mentioning a little bit about the rotation questions. To me, I would not start Enes Kanter. I understand there might be some temptation to do that because of the experience factor. If you're trying to get yourself geared up for the playoffs, I mean, this guy has no chance. Like, if you're trying to match up with LaMarcus Aldridge, say, in the first round, or throw him up there against Steven Adams, you know, in a starting role, or Rudy Gobert in a starting role, I mean, to me, that would make me really, really nervous. I think that actually the best way to play this, if I was Terry Stotts, and I know it's easier said than done to make these kinds of calls, you know, from outside the locker room. I would go to Zach Collins and say, Zach, you're our guy.
Yeah.
I know you're young. I know you're going to make mistakes. I know there's going to be some bumps in the road, but I want you to start and I want you to take advantage of this opportunity and just be frank with him and say, guess what? We're probably going to need you a lot next year too. So now is the time to grow up fast. And I think he's done everything the right way so far during his NBA career. Of course, you'd want to bring him along gradually if you could, but that's how I would play it if I was Terry Stotts.
Now, I mean, you're talking basketball, and that's the thing. The injury happens, so we got to get back to basketball. Playoffs, the berth is clinched for the Blazers. I mean, is there a realistic scenario or team or matchup where you can see the Blazers getting out of the first round now?
Look, it's going to take a Damian Lillard-led miracle. Okay, he's got to put on his James Harden cape. I mean, that's the only way around it. We saw what happened last year when they're trapping him. I mean, all the teams that are going to be looking at that New Orleans game tape from last year's playoffs are going to be thinking, wow, now Nurkic isn't out there to make us pay. Now we can really go after Damian Lillard. It's going to take a heroic effort by him. All these teams behind the Blazers are all really good. I mean, the Western Conference playoff field, it might not have that clear-cut, like, number two team, sort of like Houston last year, where it was clear they were an excellent challenger to Golden State. But there's a lot of depth. There's a lot of matchup difficulties. I can't really pick one of these teams that Portland would rather play than the others. I think a lot of people would say, well, maybe the Clippers because they don't have a star. The Clippers might be the hottest team in the league right now, and they're going to punch you in the mouth right out of the gate. And if you don't have your strategies kind of pulled together in time for that playoff series, you know, the Clippers will upset you if you get into that situation. So I don't know. I mean, I guess they also have Patrick Beverley, by the way, to throw on Damian Lillard, so that would make me nervous too. I mean, these are all good teams. I think if I had to forecast it, I would say Portland's going home in round one this year, mm-hmm. and I don't think I would have said that prior to this injury.
Yeah, Ben Golliver, our guest, Washington Post NBA writer. Catch him on his podcast, the Open Floor Podcast, as well on Twitter, at Ben Golliver. Great stuff, former writer for the Blazers Edge on the MVPHomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. All right, well, on that note, let's say that is what happens. We don't know about CJ. It's shaky. The first-round matchup is tough. They play the wrong team, what have you. They're eliminated. Not to use the whole, like, expression, it's the excuse built in, because I think it's actually valid for Neil this year if he goes to a postseason press conference and says, well, you know, it's a tough year. We suffered some injuries. It wasn't easy, yada, yada, yada. What does it mean, though, for them in the offseason, knowing Nurk may or may not be back next year, knowing this team didn't get out of the first round again? Do they do anything? I mean, what's the situation, in your opinion, with Neil Olshey, and what you do this summer, given the injury blows that they've been dealt?
I mean, to me, he's always trying to buy time, right? Like, hasn't that been the thing? He's always trying to roll it over from this deadline to the summer to the next deadline to the next summer. I mean, he's just trying to always escape those mistakes from 2016. And you're right. I mean, this is absolutely a legitimate explanation for why they might fall short in the playoffs. You know, to me, they have this thing going the right way. When you're looking at the fundamentals of the organization, do the players buy into Terry Stotts' vision? Yes, they do. Do Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum fit together? And when Nurkic is healthy, does he fit together with them? Yes, they do. What has been the weaknesses that they haven't been able to sort of address? Well, it's been those supporting pieces. It will be easier for Portland to address those weaknesses, not this summer, but the following summer, because all of those 2016 contracts will finally be off their books, right? So I think you hate to try to sell patience like 18 months in advance, but honestly, you know, if this playoffs goes the way we kind of expect it to right now, I would be in favor, if I was Portland, of mostly running it back. I mean, they got themselves all the way up in contention for the third seed this year. Lillard only continues to get better. He's smack dab in his prime. They don't have any chemistry and locker room issues that have kind of sabotaged so many of these other teams. And I'll say this for Portland, like, don't take that for granted, all right? We're seeing a lot of really talented teams around the league implode on themselves. Look at the Boston Celtics. They can't even string 2 weeks of good basketball together. And look at all the talent they have in their locker room. So all this yearning for, oh, let's go out there and try to grab talent and put together a super team and all that, that sounds good on paper, but in reality, those guys have to want to play together. And that really has been the strength of and the consistent factor for the Portland Trailblazers here over these last couple of years. So I guess, you know, if I'm Neil, I feel like to me, it's always his strategy to punt, punt, punt. I think he's going to be punting again.
Well, do you think because of what's happened over this last 24 hours, Neil has bought himself a couple more years in Portland? I mean, with no ownership, no Paul Allen anymore, Neil O'Shea is kind of seen as like the mind of the room making moves. With this, you have so many question marks. Again, does he buy himself a couple years to try and get this sorted out before the questions start getting raised towards O'Shea again?
Yeah, I think that's probably the most likely scenario, but we need to hear from Jody Allen. And this is something I've been harping on for the last few months. It's time for her to come out and make a statement. You know, I don't know if you guys saw the Pelicans owner, Gail Benson, a couple of days ago. She came out and basically really forcefully said, hey, I care about the Pelicans. I'm not going to sell this team. We're going to be in New Orleans. And obviously she has to say stuff like that because they're in the middle of a GM search and they've got to try to attract a good candidate who's obviously going to be asking those types of questions, right? But I did think it was good, proactive public leadership from her at a time when her organization really needs it because they're going through this transition with Anthony Davis. Great owners in the NBA in these situations, in tough times, step forward and lead. And I think it's Jody Allen's turn to prove that she can be a great owner or at least a great steward here of her, you know, brother's legacy. And I think it's time for her to come forward and say what she thinks the direction of this organization is. Especially after the season, how does she feel about the job that Neil O'Shea and Terry Stotts have done? I think the basketball community at large and Blazers fans specifically need to hear those words come out of her mouth.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You almost wonder at this point, too, because of all the rumblings of potentially selling the team, is the silence speaking loud enough of how much she cares or doesn't care about this franchise and the future of it? I'll get you out of here on this one, Ben. Does the rest of the national NBA landscape, the people that you know, the writers, the bloggers, the podcast hosts, all of them, all the national folks, have they grasped how unfortunate Portland has been with injuries in our history?
You're saying, do they know about the curse? Is that what you're asking?
Yes, this curse? I'm tired of it here.
Look, I hate talking about it, but I'll be right there with you. I mean, I had Odin flashbacks, you know, that PTSD from when he went off the court and they had to stretcher him last night. You know, I was talking to your producer, Swag, longtime basketball aficionado. He's going all the way back to, you know, Sam Bowie. I know the real old heads will say, look, this all started with Bill Walton. I mean, this goes back to the 70s before I was even born. I get it. I mean, you hate to link these things. Every injury is independent. It's going to affect an individual, a player in Nurkic, and, you know, he doesn't need to be lumped in with any of those guys, you know, necessarily. But I understand those feelings popping back up for people who have watched that organization, and my heart goes out to all of them.
Yeah, my only answer is that Bill Walton stole somebody's weed years ago, and it's just left this curse on this franchise where all the big men get hurt. Ben Golliver, Washington Post, national NBA writer on Twitter, at Ben Golliver. Good piece today on the Washington Post. We'll look for the rest of your stuff and continue great work there and on the podcast, man. Thanks for joining us.
So you're saying it's the Kush karma, huh?
I mean, what else could it be? What else answer is there? You know, I can't come up with anything else.
I won't argue with you. Have a good one, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.